everybody. Welcome back to Popcorn Premieres. We are experiencing a lot of technical difficulties right now. And also, I forgot Jason. But anyways, I'm your host, Logan Thompson, joined, as always,
by our co-host, Ethan Kaufman. Hey, hi, hello, everybody. Ethan, I'm not wearing headphones right now.
Yeah, that's the level of technical difficulty that we are going through.
What is happening?
That's a very good question. I do not know.
Have no clue.
Yeah, Ethan's looking in his backpack for something. Oh, he's pulling out just regular. He's pulling out just Bluetooth headphones for, now they're gone. Oh, well. Yep. So, Ethan, how do you feel about me forgetting Jason Statham?
I think this was a calculated decision because you knew you were going to have to give him back to me, and you just simply didn't want to. And, like, I can't respect that. You know, if you had come up to me like a man and told me, "Hey, I know it's your week to have Jason now, but I'm not gonna give him to you because I still want that," maybe I could respect. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a terrible move still. But if you had at least been honest with me, maybe we could have talked it out, reached like some sort of like joint custody type of thing.
Joint custody.
This is just, what are you doing? You forgot him. Sure, buddy.
What if I did actually forget him?
Sure, buddy.
Sure? Okay. That's all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we'll go back to Jason and box office stuff soon. But first, we have ourselves a little game that we're going to play. A little game. And this game is essentially, I'm a salesman.
No, you're not. You're a park student.
Well, for today, I'm a salesman. Today, I'm a business student.
All right. No, today, you're an acting student is what you're doing.
What? Oh, because I'm pretending to be a salesman? Sure. Also, business students are still park students because the business school is still park.
Different park.
Yeah, but it's the same guy.
I don't care. Can we get to the game?
Okay, let's get
to
the game.
Can we get to fun times?
So, anyways, I am selling 10 best picture, what people perceive as contenders.
Yes.
To Ethan. And Ethan is pretty much going to say whether he thinks they are a genuine contender or if they are more of a pretender. So anyways, let's dive right in to our first movie. The only one of these movies that is out there right now that you can go and watch in a theater right now, which I highly recommend. I'm assuming Ethan
did do
also
that
highly
three
recommends.
Times.
I did also do that three times. And that movie is Dune Part 2.
Dune!
So, I guess my one little note about this film is that it is confirmed that Dune Messiah is in the works.
Yes.
Which Denis is saying is his last Dune movie.
Yes.
So, what do you think of Dune Part 2 as a possible Oscar contender?
I have been very conflicted on this recently because back when it was just Dune and Dune Part 2, there was very much a consensus that, like, this was going to go far. This was, like, potentially best picture contender, going to sweep pretty much all the technical awards. And now it's complicated because it's not the last one. So do you give it all of that when you're going to have Dune Messiah to also give awards? But Dune Messiah might not be as good as Dune 2. Based on how good Dune 2 was, it probably won't be. Still obviously hoping, but like, it's conflicting. I would definitely say if we're not talking strictly picture, but Oscars overall, it's absolutely a contender. I do think it is like the tech giant to beat this year. As far as picture goes, I might have to wait until we get to like later in the year when some of these other movies start coming out and we see how they stack up. I definitely think it has a chance. I don't know if I would put it firmly as my number one, but just because it's the only one we really have something to go off of, having seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll put it as a contender.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. I think the other issue is that this is a March release.
Yes.
So just it being such an early release is like how well is it going to carry its momentum all the way to pretty much next March.
And we talked about this, I think, it's not last time, sometime recently, because, like, Everything Everywhere All at Once was practically a March release. I saw it in March earlier.
Yeah, I think I did, too.
And, that more than kept its momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's out of the question. But then you do look at last year where, like, Barbie had a lot of steam and then late in the Oscar race kind of lost it. Spider-Verse mm-hmm. looked very hopeful when it came out and just got crushed.
Yeah.
And I think maybe had it had a shorter window, could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I think the other thing with Dune 2 to me is that it's 100% going to get a picture nomination.
Yes.
Right? Like, I think that's pretty much guaranteed.
I think, like, Denis is getting easily a director nomination, yeah, even if he didn't for the first one.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm not 100% on that because there's a different movie, which we have later, like, after the third movie that we're going to talk yes. about, including Dune 2, which I think could potentially be an issue for Dune 2 because I think they're going to compete in a lot of categories.
Yes.
But we'll get there very soon. But first, let's talk about Kinds of Kindness.
Kinds of Kindness.
The newest Yorgos Lanthimos film where he yet again teams up with Emma Stone. The rest of the cast is completely stacked.
Insane.
Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, Margaret Qualley, Han Chow, et cetera, Hunter Schafer. And just to read the Letterboxd summary here, a triptych fable following a man without choice who tries to take control of his own life, a different person, and a woman determined to find, I read it wrong, a policeman who is alarmed that his wife, who was missing at sea, has returned and seems a different person, and a woman determined to find a specific someone with a special ability who is destined to become a prodigious spiritual leader.
You suffered through that.
I did really suffer through that. I'm going to suffer through a lot of these summaries.
Yeah.
Just,
do the Google
letting
ones,
you know.
They're shorter.
And, yeah, so Lanthimos, not only was he the director, but he's also credited as a writer for this movie. And here's the thing. Lanthimos did not write Poor Things or The Favorite, which
Correct.
Were big Yorgos Lanthimos Oscar contenders. But what Lanthimos has written were The Lobster, which got just a screenplay nomination, Killing of a Sacred Deer, with no nominations, and Dogtooth, which got an international feature nomination. Those were the only Oscar nominations that have ever been received by a Yorgos Lanthimos written movie. And Searchlight is also distributing this film. Also, it's releasing in June.
Yes.
Anyways, now that I've gone through that whole thing, Ethan, take it away.
I think that there is a lot working against this to mm-hmm. where I am not firmly going to put it as a contender. However, we have clearly seen the power of Yorgos Lanthimos and Emma Stone working together
mm-hmm.
just this past Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that is a reason why it maybe won't do as well, because they did just reward this pair.
Yeah.
Are they going to do it again so fast? Probably not. But, like, teaser came out, looks amazing. I'm personally very excited for it, but I do think it's going to fall more under, like, this is what the cool kids are watching. Maybe
yeah.
the Academy's not going for it as much.
Yeah.
Like, I see it maybe being one of those that, like, gets a nomination or two in a couple areas. And I could also be totally wrong, and it could do very well. I don't see it winning, really. I think, like, maybe the strongest would be screenplay. But, like you mentioned, Yorgos Lanthimos, when he's writing, maybe a little too weird for the Academy.
Yeah, I mean, Lobster did get a screenplay nomination.
Right.
So I was kind of thinking screenplay as well.
Yeah. If this gets a screenplay nomination, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah.
I might even predict it. Mm-hmm. But I don't, as far as the bigger ones go, like picture, I don't really think it's going to get, unless a lot of these other movies we're going to talk about just don't wind up hitting the way we think they are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see Emma Stone getting a nomination again just after she wins.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, quality-wise, I think this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for this film. I think it could be great. I'm sensing editing.
Yeah.
Because it's like three different
right.
storylines. I'm sensing an editing nomination. Anyways, let's keep things moving. Going on to Megalopolis, a movie that I think could really stand in Dune Part 2's way a little bit if it's good. This is Francis Ford Coppola's self-funded 30 years in the making passion project. He hasn't been nominated for an Oscar since the 1990s, though, with The Godfather Part 3. This has a crazy cast.
Including Shia LaBeouf.
Yes. And Adam Driver is the leading man here. Smaller summary. An architect wants to rebuild New York City as a utopia following a devastating disaster. There is still no distributor for this film, which could definitely prove as an issue because I know Coppola wanted this film to debut at Cannes,
yeah.
But it needs a distributor to do that. And Cannes is announcing its films in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. And also Giancarlo Esposito is in this movie. That. Just wanted to shout that out.
Yes.
Ethan?
I, right now, think this is going to do very well. I am comparing it to something like a Babylon, where it's like a big director who has had success in the past with this epic proportions passion project kind of thing, mm-hmm. with a huge ensemble. And it flopping and it just not resonating with certain people. I totally see that happening with this. But at least right now, with the little information that we have, I do think it's going to be, if not one of the best movies of the year, certainly one of the biggest movies of the year, mm-hmm. at least in terms of like the Academy. And it's like, it's going to be an elephant in the room where you kind of can't ignore it. And where if you are snubbing it, it's going to be an issue maybe with some people. It's tough to talk about the Oscars so early because there's so little to go off of.
Yeah.
But I do think this is one to watch out for. And I think like there's a world where this totally wins Best Picture.
Yeah.
And there's a world where it doesn't get anything and it just doesn't hit people. But right now I would definitely say contender.
That's how I'm feeling too. I see this as a floor Napoleon.
Okay.
Because I think it's 100% going to at least get a couple of nominations.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's probably going to get, like, costumes.
Yes.
The costumes look pretty good from the, like, production behind-the-scenes photos that are out there. And maybe just some sort of other, like, VFX or something like that. You know, and that's pretty much what Napoleon got. I think he got, like, costumes and visual effects. So, on the other hand... best case scenario, this is Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, it is that, like, distinct.
It could get director, it could get screenplay, it could get a lot.
Yeah, like, if this movie is genuinely excellent, it's going to sweep, and we're going to have a third straight year sweeping. Because at the end of the day, this is Coppola.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a giant.
He is.
Yeah. Moving on, Blitz. Directed by Steve McQueen, who hasn't really received any Oscar attention since 12 Years a Slave.
Which I haven't seen.
I have seen it. It's a fantastic film.
It's rough,
I've heard. It's really hard to watch, but it's a really great film. But this movie is starring...
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan. You know how to pronounce it. I don't. And Saoirse Ronan is usually attached to pretty successful films.
Yes.
You know, like, she has a really good track record with the Academy. And as a little summary, follow the stories of a group of Londoners during the aerial bombing of the British capital during the war. Apple is also distributing this film, and they have had success at the Oscars because look at Coda.
Right.
You know? So what do you think?
Don't look at Killers.
Don't look at Killers. Look away from Killers. Look away from Napoleon.
Yeah.
And especially look away from Argyle.
Oh, my gosh. You find a way to bring it up every time.
I do. It's gotta stop. I love it.
Either you gotta stop or you gotta bring back Jason.
Jason.
I can't have the Argyle talk without like a Jason head to stroke.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anywho, Blitz, which is a historical drama starring Saoirse Ronan, happens during World War II. This is gonna do well. This is gonna do well. I don't think we'll see if it like has a chance for picture, but just across the board, it is easily the most Oscar-y movie we have talked about so far. And I do think it's going to be a big contender. As far as wins, that's a different story. But, yeah. like, I do see this maybe being one, like, between, I'm sure, production design and costumes are kind of in the bag. You'll definitely have an acting nomination or two or three, who knows. Look out for it. Mm-hmm. Look out for it.
Yeah. Personally, I think this might be my best picture favorite at the moment.
Okay.
And we are really far out, so, right. like, that can change. But, yeah, like, I'm pretty confident in this film doing well. But then again, like, Steve McQueen hasn't had the most success since 12 Years a Slave. Like, I know he had that movie, I think, Widows with, like, yes, Viola Davis.
Which was very good.
I have not seen it, but it did not do well at the Oscars.
No, it didn't.
So, we'll see. I'm hopeful, though.
Me too. Hopeful.
Next up, Sing Sing, starring Colman Domingo, who was just nominated for Rustin.
Yeah.
And currently most people see him as the favorite to win Best Actor. This film got a lot of buzz, not only at a TIFF, but also recently out of South by Southwest.
Yeah.
But also we've seen buzz out of South by Southwest not necessarily right. go that well, because look at Monkey Man right now, which we'll talk we'll about later. But anyways, Divine G, imprisoned at Sing Sing for a crime he didn't commit, finds purpose by acting in a theater group with other incarcerated men. So that's the little summary. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or not.
I have not seen the trailer, but I have heard a lot of buzz. It sounds like everyone, at least as far as Colman Domingo is concerned, mm-hmm. are very favorable. And just on the movie as a whole, it's yeah. from what I've heard, it's just the Shawshank Redemption, but with singing.
I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
Oh, and then last bit. It's a movie that has a lot to do with acting.
Yeah.
And we've seen that people in Hollywood love when they are represented yes. in like good films, because look at American Fiction this past year. Movie about writers, and what did it win?
Writing.
Original screenplay. So I think that this could do really well, but what about yeah. you?
I don't think this is, maybe. I think this is a contender for actor. I think perhaps like a screenplay or even a picture if it goes far. Everyone just seems to like it.
Yeah.
And that's like a very strong consensus mm-hmm. to where even some movies don't have that, like maybe they have higher highs, but then some people are poised against it. This, everyone who has come out of TIFF and has given their reactions is just like, I really like this, or mm-hmm. I loved it even.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to do very well.
And it seems kind of like a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
A little bit, which is good.
And it's another A24 win.
Yeah. And it could definitely be a moment for Colman Domingo where, like, Rustin, he's nominated, and then the next year he follows it up by winning for Sing Sing.
Yeah.
Which I think would be pretty swell.
I agree.
Anyways, next up we have Conclave. This is Edward Berger's follow-up to All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yes.
Very long summary, which I am about to struggle through. The Pope is dead. Behind the locked doors of the Sistine Chapel, 118 cardinals from all over the globe will cast their votes in the world's most selective election. They are holy men, but they have ambition, and they have rivals. Over the next 72 hours, one of them will become the most powerful spiritual figure on Earth. This kind of sounds like a political thriller yeah. type of film, but like religion, and it also takes place in the span of 72 hours,
yes.
which could be really interesting in terms of something like editing. And also, Ralph Fiennes is starring.
Love Ralph
Fiennes. And he is fantastic. Voldemort, you know? Also, focus features.
Stanley Tucci? Hmm? Stanley Tucci's in
oh,
this?
Oh, I didn't see that, but yeah. No, it has a really good cast. And also, focus features is distributing, and they typically have a contender every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts.
I am very excited for this. Just on like a concept level, it sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's going to be just thrilling. And I think based on who we have in the director's chair, that will come out effectively. I think editing, yeah. look out for it. Screenplay, definitely. Mm-hmm. Directing, and maybe picture. I think this is another to really have your eye on.
Yeah. I think acting too.
Totally.
Ralph Fiennes, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think, could be a good contender. And I don't even think it's because it's Edward Berger.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think it just, it seems like a really good movie.
It does.
Like, it yeah. sounds awesome. Just reading it made me be like, oh, I want to watch this.
This is you one know? That, like, if it winds up being mediocre, is going to make me so upset.
Yeah,
it's
me
just,
too.
Just, like, hearing it, I am getting excited.
Yeah, exactly. Next up, we have Joker Folie à Deux.
We will have a teaser for this by the time this episode comes out.
Yes, but we have not seen this teaser because we are recording on Eclipse Day.
But you can, people
Monday.
From the future.
Yes, you can. It's probably on YouTube right now. Yes. Just look it up. Stars Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn seems to be a jukebox musical, and its summary is just that it's the sequel to 2019's Joker, or The Joker, my bad. So the thing with this film is that usually sequels don't tend to do as well unless it's like you know that the sequel is going to happen. Because with Joker, like the Academy and people did not know that the sequel was going to happen.
I think a lot of its success was being a one-off.
Exactly. And well, something like Dune, the reason why it didn't do as well is because it was very much a part one. But can this film differentiate itself enough from the original to still stand out and be a good contender on its own? Because I think it being a jukebox musical really does mean it's going to kind of stand out on its own.
The meme of people just putting random songs as the songs in Joker 2, really funny.
It is really funny. On the contrary, though, Todd Phillips so far does not have a good history with sequels.
Yeah.
That being a one movie history of a bad sequel to The Hangover, with The Hangover Part 2, which just wasn't too well received.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think that right now I would put this in noms but no wins. I think it is one of my most anticipated movies of the year, which I feel so weird saying because I wasn't head over heels for the first Joker. I think like right now on Letterboxd, I only have it sitting at like a 3.5. But I'm just very curious to see what they're going to do with this because it sounds like it's taking just a wildly different direction. And I would maybe compare it to something like Black Panther 2.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a superhero movie, but like the first one was a landmark superhero film that did do very well. And then this, I don't think has that same power, but I think it's still going to be on people's radar.
Exactly.
Come Oscar season.
And just like it's also getting released at a good time in October, I think. Yeah. And that's a great time to release a movie.
Yeah.
For the Oscars. Moving on, another sequel, but this time it's not a superhero movie. It's a Paul Mescal movie.
Yes.
Gladiator 2. The rest of the cast is also pretty crazy with Denzel Washington, Connie Nielsen, Pedro Pascal, Joseph Quinn, and even more people.
Crazy cast.
The film will follow the continuing story of Lucius, the son of Lucia. That's the summary.
Mm-hmm.
Ridley Scott, however, has been really inconsistent.
Yes.
It really seems like that he's been prioritizing quantity over quality with the films he's making. But with the strikes, he kind of had to sit with this movie for a while. He couldn't make like a new movie.
Yeah.
You know, he had to sit and just kind of edit with the footage that he had. And I think that could have been the best thing to happen for this movie.
I agree.
To give Ridley Scott a second to sit down and just work on one individual project, ideally.
Yeah.
Maybe he was actually like writing a different movie the entire time. And in that case, that would suck. But in my head, I'm imagining the strikes maybe benefiting this film where, you know, he'd come up with like new ideas for like the rest of the shooting that he had to do after the strikes. And, you know, just spent a lot of time in the editing bay or just something where this film could actually be pretty decent, unlike the majority of Ridley Scott's 21st century filmography.
Because like I look back at like a Napoleon, Last Duel, House of Gucci.
Yeah, Last Duel was good.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's good. But like just strictly speaking Academy Awards, out of those last three, like Napoleon was the best performing, and it really wasn't doing that well.
Yeah, well, House of Gucci did kind of decent at the Oscars.
I think it only got like one or two nominated. It didn't get any acting, which was like,
oh, I thought Lady
campaign.
Gaga got nominated for some reason. Okay, my bad.
I would put this right now probably in noms but no wins. I also haven't seen the first Gladiator, so I like don't have that at all to compare it
it's
to.
It's pretty good.
We'll see. I think this is one that could just totally fumble and just winds up not being as great as maybe people think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I also see an alternative, and I think it's going to be very tough for this many because like between this, Dune 2, and Joker 2, there are a lot of sequels, and I don't think there is room for all of them.
Yeah.
And, like, Dune 2, I think, out of those three, is definitely the one that has the clearest shot. And so, maybe. I feel like I don't see a world where this and Joker 2 are both big contenders.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, part of me feels like this is more likely to be great than Joker 2.
I might agree. I think it's more likely to... I was going to say more likely to do well. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really hard. Joker 2 also, to me, I have like a little red flag in my head, which is that they shot another stair scene.
Yeah.
That just seems so cheesy. Like, what? How did that happen? Did, like, Joaquin Phoenix and, like, did his Joker go and be like, ooh, I danced on these stairs once. Do you want to come with me to dance on these stairs, Lady Gaga? Yeah. And then, yeah.
We'll see, because, like, the budget for this is huge. Like, it's pushing upwards of $300 million.
Oh, but Gladiator 2?
Like, yeah, but also, the last 2 years, we've had a healthy dose of big blockbusters, and so even if we already have Dune 2, Joker 2, like, Megalopolis is obviously going to be huge. I think it's in the Academy's best interest to pay more mind to stuff that's doing better at the box office, and just because it has a budget like this, it's going to make some money.
Yeah, it's definitely going to make some money. In my head, I picture this having a floor of Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny. And a ceiling of Dune Part 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where it's like a tech giant, but beyond that doesn't really do
anything. Yeah, pretty much. And, like, just get a lot of nominations and, like, a couple of wins, but not, like, major category wins.
I would probably agree with both of those.
I can't see it winning picture. Definitely not. Moving on. All right. Next up, we have Queer. This is one of Luca Guadagnino's two movies coming out this year. And it seems to be more Oscar-y than Challengers, which is why I have this on the list instead of Challengers. But if Challengers does end up being a contender, could that hurt this film?
Totally.
And could they sort of hurt each other?
I think so.
Kind of like what happened with Last Duel and House of Gucci for Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Anyways, summary of the film. Lee is an insecure man afflicted with heroin withdrawal who is driven to pursue a young man named Allerton. It's an interesting name, Allerton. It stars Daniel Craig, and from what I've seen, we do not have a distributor for this movie yet.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I am very excited for it, just like off the director, easily one of my favorite working directors right now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I do think that having this and Challengers in the same year does do some damage to both of them. But based on how far apart they look to be spaced, and I don't think, at least right now, it doesn't look like Challengers is really gunning for any Oscars.
Yeah.
We'll see. I do think like a nomination for Daniel Craig is definitely in the cards. I want to give it time, see how it plays out.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too.
Let it find a home somewhere.
Yeah. And now our final movie, which I think is kind of funny to have on this list because I just don't think it's possible whatsoever.
But I would love it.
Yeah, but there's so many people who think that this is a contender, which I kind of think is ridiculous, but that's why I'm including this movie. That being Nosferatu, a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted young woman and the terrifying vampire infatuated with her, causing untold horror in its wake. Directed by Robert Eggers, director of The Witch, The Lighthouse, and The Northman.
Love Robert Eggers.
Surprised that this isn't actually called The Nosferatu.
The Nosferatu.
But obviously, all three of those movies were massive Oscar contenders, which is why we have this on this list. It is a remake of the classic film, Nosferatu, which was a silent film. And it seems to have a fantastic cast, and A24 is distributing this movie, so it has a really good Academy distributor. What do you think?
I do not think this is gonna do well at all. I think it may be similar to like The Lighthouse. I think maybe gets away with like a cinematography nomination or something. However, just for the fun of this, there is a very slim chance that it does gain some traction. I don't think goes a long way anywhere, and I do think that the ceiling, even in a best-case scenario, is very low. But, like, I could see it maybe getting some extra techs here and there.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, if a Gladiator 2 doesn't end up being the success that it could be.
Yeah.
I think this could sneak in some places. I'm hoping, mm-hmm. but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see.
Merry Christmas.
Also, with this film, it's like, if this film is like really excellent, you know, maybe it could like sneak into some text or something.
We'll see.
But we'll see.
Because like, at least for me personally, The Lighthouse is one of my favorite movies of all time and got nothing besides cinematography.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We will see. All right. So now we're going to jump on to more box office stuff. But for people listening, we are going to do a continuation of this segment in 2 weeks, because next week we're going to be talking about all the films that are going to be competing at Cannes.
Yeah.
But then the following week, we're going to talk about 10 more possible Best Picture contenders. For now, let's jump over for some auction updates.
Yay.
Briefly. Because Ethan is looking really good right now.
I'm looking amazing.
Because
dude.
I let him get the first Omen.
Yeah.
And that was a huge mistake. Because I loved the first Omen.
Did you?
I really loved it.
Awesome.
It was so good.
Let's go.
It might be the best horror movie of the year.
Let's go.
I would not be too surprised.
Let's go.
And I thought it was going to be bad. Because I easily could have gotten that movie.
Was the second trailer really that bad?
I thought the second trailer was bad, in my opinion. In hindsight, I looked at it and I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. But that's also because I'd already seen the film.
Yeah.
You know, but also like, the embargo wasn't lifting until a Thursday. On the poster, there is like a quote, like, but it's not really a quote that says the most terrifying movie of the year. But like, it's not a quote from anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the like
a tagline.
20th Century Fox put it there.
Okay.
You know, and that's just like a red flag.
Right.
And it felt like there were just like a lot of red flags surrounding this film. But no, it's excellent.
Let's go.
Yeah. And Monkey Man, I also really liked. I've seen Monkey Man twice.
And I haven't seen it at all.
So, yeah. I mean, you should go and see these movies.
I really want to.
Yeah, you should double feature these. I will happily double feature them with you.
Can you?
I could.
Like, factually?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'd see Monkey Man in First Omen again.
Oh, let's go. Yeah. Let's do that.
Monkey Man for the third time?
Let's do
time.
That at some point.
Let's go. Okay. Anyways, do you have any thoughts before we move on to the box office?
I need to devise my formula for how we are going to determine that I won the auction, because we know I won the auction, but like we need to be able to show that with numbers and data.
You know, I'm just hoping that Rebel Moon ends up being so atrocious that it brings you down.
No, wouldn't it be funny if it was good? Like if somehow just everything on my list was great?
Yeah. And I picked Sasquatch Sunset kind of for the meme.
Yeah. You picked Sasquatch Sunset for $27 when you didn't need to, just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I also picked Boy Kills World,
for
which
the memes.
In hindsight, I've looked at the Letterboxd.
What's it at?
Not looking too hot. 2.9.
Ooh. Scoops in the low threes.
Yeah, but like, that's fine. Low yeah. threes. But
it's
like,
fine.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm hoping that Boy Kills World goes up.
Yep.
But I guess we'll find out.
We will find out.
Anyways, moving on
the
to
box
this weekend's box office, we got ourselves Godzilla.
Yeah.
X-Con at
Still
our number
here.
One spot. Made $31.7 million this weekend at a worldwide total of $361 million, which is just massive.
Lots
it's
of money.
Probably gonna pass Dune 2 worldwide.
Please don't let it pass Dune 2.
It probably will.
I don't want it to.
It's probably gonna make like $800 million.
No,
that's
not
my
allowed.
Guess. It also held really strong just for MonsterVerse films, only dropping about 60%.
What have the other
Typically,
ones dropped?
Those ones kind of drop between 65 and 70%.
Okay.
That's kind of been their average. Brief review, because I did see this movie a week ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's fine. It's not like offensively terrible, but at the end of the day, it's just kind of like
it's another one of these.
Yeah, like a monkey punching a monkey.
Yep.
And that's kind of all it is.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're a big fan of a monkey punching another monkey with a Godzilla just there every once in a while, you know, go for it, because Godzilla is barely in this
I've
movie,
heard. Yeah.
Which sucks. Because Godzilla is awesome. Oh, well. It makes me kind of sad. Anyways, moving on. Monkey Man.
Monkey Man.
The movie that Ethan won for. I can't remember our predictions, but I know I predicted higher and yours was higher. We were both like $10 million off.
Yeah.
Because we both predicted in like the 20s. Did not do that well. Yeah.
The only reason that my prediction was as high as it was just because I wanted to get closer to you just in case it was in the middle.
And it ended up not working out that way.
Oh well.
Anywho, though, this film, box office-wise, to me, is underwhelming. But I do get it because a lot of people did go and see this film and they were like, oh, there's not as much action as the trailers made it look like there was. I didn't really see that.
Okay.
I thought that it was pretty action-packed and I appreciated the story elements. Like, it's essentially a film where it's like 30 minutes of minimal action with a couple of cool sequences, 30 minutes of action, 30 minutes of no action, 30 minutes of action.
That's enough action.
Yeah, like there was a good amount of action. And when it was action-y, I thought it was awesome. And it was also like, it was really smart where, you know, the better the guy got as a fighter, the more stable the camera got.
Hmm.
Like it was really well thought out. And I really appreciated it. But anyways, that's kind of it. Like I like that movie. Also just kind of funny how we got these first two movies.
They're both monkey movies.
Yes, two monkeys.
It's a great year for monkey movies.
And then if you look at the top three, two movies are Empire movies.
Oh, my gosh.
Great year for Empire movies.
Monkey Empire.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and that's just going to...
More monkeys.
More monkey empires.
I'm excited for that movie, though. Me too. Looks awesome. Anyways, to talk about this third Empire movie, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire made $9 million. Now has a worldwide total of 138.2, and will probably exceed 100 million domestically, which, whether or not you like this film or and are a fan of this film, it's good for the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. The First Omen.
Let's go.
The movie that is probably going to be the cause of my demise in the auction.
Let's go.
Made $8.4 million this weekend domestically and 17.5 worldwide. Total
vibes.
So, yeah, this was a lot better than Immaculate.
Let's go.
Which is a movie that a lot of people are comparing this to. And I'm really hoping that it's the type of film where people are like, oh, this looks the exact same as Immaculate. I'm not going to bother checking it out. But word of mouth will spread that this movie is like insanely good. So then more people will check it out. Because I've seen like all the reviews I've seen have been immensely positive of people being like, I had no expectations. I thought this movie was going to suck. But actually, it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So those are my thoughts.
Hype.
Do you have anything to add?
I would like to see it very much. I've heard very good things. Like, I loved that first teaser. And now this is going to be the cause of me crushing you into the dirt.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Yeah. Kung Fu Panda 4 is up next. Made $7.85 million domestically. 410.4 worldwide total. Good for Kung Fu Panda.
Good for Kung Fu Panda. It is beginning
to plateau.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we were predicting, where it's gonna stick around for
only
a while.
Fell 24%.
Exactly. So I think we are definitely seeing it enter its migration era.
Let's go.
Dune 2.
Dune!
$7.2 million domestically this weekend, 660.7 worldwide total. I guess the real question is can it hit 700 worldwide?
Because
it releases, maybe. It releases on premium video on demand, I think, next week.
If it's next week, I don't think it gets there. I think it's maybe a little far out.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Because even when movies would hit premium video on demand, they still would stick around sometimes.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
If any movie can stick around, I think it is this one.
Yeah. But the other issue is that it will be losing all of its premium screens to Civil War.
Yes. I don't think it gets there, but every dollar is a win.
Yeah, I agree. Next up, we have Someone Like You, which made $3 million domestically this weekend and is not released internationally. Following that is Wicked Little Letters, $1.6 million domestically this weekend, 16.1 worldwide total. This is a fun, crowd-pleasing movie.
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Nice.
Because I went... I saw Monkey Man once, and then the next day, I was like, you know what? I want to go see The First Omen, but I'm not doing anything for a while, so how about I go see Monkey Man? And then in between The First Omen and Monkey Man was this Wicked Little Letters time that just kind of perfectly matched. So I was like, you know what?
You did
sure.
a triple feature. I did a I'm triple proud feature. Of you.
It was great. I did two triple features this week.
Oh, my gosh.
I did Late Night with the Devil, Godzilla X Con Immaculate. And then crazy. Monkey Man, Wicked Little Letters, and First Omen.
You got to do six movies in 2 days like I did last year.
Last year?
I did. I forget what they all were, but I did two movies in one night, and then I went back and spent 11 hours in my theater and saw four movies the following day.
I mean, I think I have actually done that kind of. Let me pull up my Letterboxd real quick at the movies. Okay.
Have you ever seen four movies in one day in theaters?
Probably.
Damn.
Anyways, on the 6th, so on Saturday, I saw Monkey Man, Wicked Little Letters, First Omen. That night, I didn't finish it until like the AMs, but that night I saw the Omen, which was like the the original movie. And then yesterday, last night, I watched Boys State and Girls State back to back, but I just didn't finish them both until it was like AM time. So you could say I watched six movies.
You could also say you're insane.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I'm also insane. Yeah. But I'm not even at that level. At least anymore. Maybe at the height of my powers, but those days are gone.
Anymore. That's sad. Anyways, I guess moving on. Arthur the King. $1.5 million domestically this weekend, 23.8 worldwide total. Moving on after that. Don't have anything else to say. Mark Wahlberg is Mark Wahlberging.
Yep.
Yeah. Immaculate, $1.4 million domestically this weekend, 18.5 worldwide total. If you are craving, for whatever reason, a nun horror movie, something that's that niche, do not go and see this movie. Is it bad? No, but it relies so much on shock factor. That's all this movie is. It's only shock
factor.
It
is truly the Saltburn of this year's nun horror movies.
It kind of is. And yeah, like it's just, it only has that like one flavor to it, if that makes sense. And yeah, so check out The First Omen if you have a craving for a nun horror movie. Please, please check out The First Omen.
What if I double up and do both?
Or double up and do both, but don't do Immaculate over The First Omen.
Okay.
Either double up or only First Omen. That's how you do it. Anyways.
Moving on.
Sorry about that little rant there. We have our fallen heroes out of the top 10. Thank you, Ethan. I really appreciate that. It brings tears to my eyes every time. Do you want to read these off?
You can read them off.
Okay. Late Night with the Devil, two weekends in the top 10, $8.45 million domestically and 9.1 worldwide total. It still made over $1 million this weekend, but it fell to number 11, so we have it here. I got a little brief review for this film, which is just that it is so just creative, and I want to see more movies like this because this was just... It was like a little mockumentary at the start, and then it was just like the late night show. And it was awesome, and I loved it. And yeah, I'd love to see more movies like this.
Vibes.
Yeah, big vibes. And also Imaginary.
Die.
A terrible
Die
horror film. The second worst movie I've watched all year.
Which is saying something. We've had some stinkers.
Yeah. This is like...
You put Argyle above it?
I put Argyle above it. I put Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey.
Oh my gosh. Ah.
Yeah. No, it is like, and I have seen how many movies? I've seen 42 2024 movies at this point now.
Dang.
And Imaginary is second worst.
I'm assuming Madam Web is below it.
Yes.
It would be.
Madam Web is below it. So Imaginary has made $27.4 million domestically and 38 worldwide total. Now, before we move on, I have a really interesting stat about a film that you and I both liked a lot. That film being Love Lies Bleeding.
Yes.
Which
what is this stat that you have?
I just thought it was kind of interesting. So, Love Lies Bleeding currently sits at number 12, you know, for this past weekend.
Yes.
It made $640,856. It fell 0.3%.
Crazy.
But it also lost 594 theaters.
Let's
go. So, this weekend it only played in 264 theaters but like fell only 0.3%. So it seems like that word of mouth is actually kind of working a little
bit. It has a better per theater average than a decent chunk of the movies.
Yeah, that was the little stat I was going to share.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, what would you expect would have a better per theater average? Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? Kung Fu Panda 4? Or Love Lies Bleeding?
Well, I know which one it is.
Well, yeah, you know which one it is. But it's Love Lies Bleeding. Yeah. Like, that's kind of wild.
Good job.
Good job for Love Lies Bleeding.
Let's go.
And, yeah, that's probably the best thing to come out of this weekend, in my opinion. Oh, actually, also Problemista.
Now that
I'm looking at it.
Yes.
Only fell 1.8%.
Oh, my gosh.
And lost 184 theaters.
People are showing up.
Yeah, people are showing up. Has a better per theater average than Arthur the King.
Yeah.
And Wicked Little Letters.
And Migration still has a per theater average of $415. Let's go, Migration.
Oh, my God, Migration. Migration really killing it over here. Made $44,000.
You know it's a good weekend when Migration's in the top 24.
Yeah. R.I.P. to Migration a little bit. Anyways, now, next weekend.
Next weekend.
Where I will win Jason back.
I think regardless of what happens, I get Jason.
You do get, or no, I'm going to give you Jason like later today or tomorrow.
No.
You don't
That's
want
less
Jason?
Than 168 hours with Jason. That's unfair. I think you can keep him.
I'm keeping him.
And then
Jason.
Regardless of what happens here, I get him next week. And so if you win this, then I get him next week, and we've just flip-flopped weeks, and then we're back to normal. But if I win, then all bets are off.
Yeah,
and
then we're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
So I hope I win this then. Okay. Civil War. This is A24's first attempt at really making a blockbuster here.
Yeah.
And it is projected to make between $15 and $23 million.
Cool.
What do you think?
Higher end of predictions, but within that, I think.
Within that. So give us a number.
Might say, because I'm looking at how little Monkey Man made.
Yeah.
I might put it at like a good 22.
22?
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little over.
Okay. I hope it makes more.
I'm going to go slightly over at 23.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there we go.
All right.
Will it be higher or lower?
And if it's in the middle of those, then I guess it's just
give us one decimal.
No, we're not going to decimals. No.
Yeah, one decimal.
No, we're not going to decimals.
One decimal.
We're not doing decimals. All right,
well,
sorry.
I'm
going
to do a decimal.
Fine. What's your decimal?
23.4.
Then I'm going to do 22.9 to just lock off the whole 22 range. So you can't have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
Suck it.
That does suck. Okay. All right. Well,
very excited to see this.
That's it for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, actually, wait. That's not it.
No, it's not. He lies.
Oh,
he lies.
Sorry. Arcadian is another movie coming out in theaters.
Nick Cage.
Looks kind of interesting. Yeah. Nick Cage zombie movie.
Let's go.
And on streaming, we got a couple of movies coming out, which I'm going to mention. You got The Greatest Hits on Hulu. Only reason I'm mentioning this is because it stars David Cornsweet. Who's the new Superman?
He's the new Superman.
So if you want to know who's that guy, because that's what I thought when I saw when he was cast. I was like, who is
this guy?
Go and watch this movie, and then you'll find out. There's also a Woody Woodpecker live-action movie coming to Netflix.
All right.
I'm sure it's going to be excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Probably going to be, you know, just as
it's
good
gonna
as
It's
going to
be the
Madame
hundreds
Webb.
Of beavers of April.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
For sure. Obviously. And that's all for today.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Thank you for sending your condolences. I'm fully aware that I should be the one to be holding Jason, but I'm not because, you know.
He's sitting in my dorm because I forgot about him.
Right. Yeah, you forgot. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a wonderful story.
You should get a Best Original Screenplay nomination for that.
Thank you. That was very original. Anyways, we're signing off. Goodbye.
See you.